Welcome to Marcus Wick Ministries. Get ready to hear God's word and walk in his power through dynamic teaching and prophetic insight. And now, here's Marcus.
Well, hello, everyone. My name is Marcus Wick, and I'm glad you could join me for session two in a five-part series called Five Introductions That Will Change Your Life. Today in session two, we're going to be talking about Let Me Introduce You to the Holy Spirit. I believe that after you're born again, the second introduction, the second most important introduction that a believer will ever need is the introduction to the Holy Spirit. And I believe it's really going to bless you and it will change your life forever. If you will, let's go to Acts chapter 19, verse 1 through 7. And these are going to be our primary verses that we're going to focus on when it comes to the introduction of the Holy Spirit. It says in Acts chapter 19, verse 1, "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast of Ephesus and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. And he said unto them, Unto what then were you baptized? And they said, Unto John's baptism. And then said Paul, John verily baptized you with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him who shall come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spoke with tongues, and they prophesied, and all the men were about 12. Here's what I want to get to, or the first question that I want to get to in my introduction of the Holy Spirit to you, is what Paul asked these believers, these people, these certain men, these 12, here in Ephesus in verse 2. He asked them, have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed? And I want to talk about the difference between being born again and being filled with the Holy Ghost and what that means. Because you see what happened to me? I got born again in Lake June, Alaska in 1985, supernaturally got born again, but I was not filled with the Holy Spirit. I didn't speak in tongues. Didn't experience any of the supernatural manifestations of the Spirit of God, of the gifts of the Spirit listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Didn't walk in miracles. Didn't see anybody healed. But you know what? I had gotten born again. I had a supernatural vision of Jesus in, like I said, 1985. And what happened was it radically changed my life. I was being tormented by demonic spirits. I had fits of anger. I was lusting, cussing, and fussing. And when I got born again, when I had that encounter with Jesus in June of 85, my life completely changed. And I said all this to say this. I had a group of Pentecostal, old-fashioned Pentecostal people that told me, unless I was born again and baptized in water in the name of Jesus and spoke in tongues, that I wasn't saved. And I knew that was wrong. And then I had some Baptist friends of mine, because I had a Baptist grandfather and a Baptist mother, and I had some other Baptist associates, and they were telling me that that tongues was of the devil, and I knew that wasn't true. So what I did was I stuck my nose in the Bible, and I began to discover what the Bible had to say about the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues and all that stuff. And I want to share some of that with you in my introduction of the Holy Spirit. First of all, what I want to share, like I said, I was born again in 85, but I didn't speak in tongues. I wasn't a tongue talker. So here's the first question I want to answer right now in my introduction of the Holy Spirit to you. What is the difference between being born again, saved, and being filled with the Holy Spirit? And in order to answer that question, I have to talk to you about the three essential baptisms of the Holy Spirit. Not of the Holy Spirit. The three essential baptisms of the believer. And if you go to Hebrews chapter 6, it talks about the six foundational doctrines, and it calls, and those doctrines in Hebrews chapter 6 are repentance from dead works, faith toward God, doctrine of baptisms, the laying on of hands, the doctrine of baptisms, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And I want you to notice something in Hebrews chapter 6. It says the doctrine of baptisms, plural. There are more than one baptisms. And I'm going to talk about, in order to show you the difference between being born again and filled with the Holy Ghost, we got to address the three essential baptisms of the believer, or that every believer should be a partaker of. The first baptism is the new birth, or when you're born again or saved. The new birth, or being born again, is about the nature, excuse me real quick, is about the nature of God. And you will find this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit were you all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. First of all, what I want to say about baptisms is this, and we're talking about three essential baptisms that every believer should partake of. In the area of baptisms, this is the way baptism goes down. There is a baptizer, a person doing the baptizing, a baptizee, a person being baptized, and something that they're being baptized into. So there's a person baptizing, there's a person being baptized, and you're being baptized into something. And we just read in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13, that the Holy Spirit baptizes us when we call upon Jesus and acknowledge that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. When we are born again, the Holy Spirit baptizes us, the believer, into the body of Christ, or into Christ. And this is about the new birth, or the nature of God. And we can find, and that is the first baptism, when we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. When we put our faith in Jesus, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into the body of Christ. It's the new birth. This baptism happens when a person believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. It is called the new birth. When we acknowledge and believe Jesus, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, the Holy Spirit baptizes us into Christ, his body, and we are made to drink of his Spirit, and our nature is changed. Go to Romans chapter 8, verse 15 and 16. I want to show you what happens during this baptism. So again, one more time, we believe on Jesus, the first baptism. The Holy Spirit baptizes us into Christ, his body, and into his Spirit. We are baptized into the body of Christ, and we are made to drink of the Spirit of Christ. Amen? He says right here in Romans chapter 8, we'll give you some more details about this first baptism. It says in Romans 8:15, for ye have not received the spirit of a bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself bearing witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. This is what happens when we get born again. We are born again. We receive the nature of God. We become sons of God. We are born again. We are born of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And we are baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, and we are made to drink of the spirit of adoption, the Spirit of Christ. Our spirit becomes one spirit through the new birth with the Spirit of Christ or Jesus, and we cry, Abba, Father. We don't speak in tongues. We cry, Abba, Father. It's the new birth, not the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 4 gives us more insight to what Romans chapter 8 is referring to. And in Galatians chapter 4, verse 6, and because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. When you are born again, when you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, the Holy Ghost baptizes you into the body of Christ, and we are made to drink of the Spirit of Christ, and the Spirit of his Son enters into our heart. We pass from death unto life. We're born again. We receive the nature of God in this first baptism, and the Spirit of his Son comes into our hearts, and he bears witness with our hearts that we are now children of God and we are born again. So the first baptism is the new birth, where you and I are born again when we believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. The second essential baptism of the believer is water baptism. And this is when a believer baptizes a new believer. Remember, baptizer, baptizee into something. This water baptism is when a believer baptizes a new believer in water. Water baptism does not save, but rather is for the saved. Amen? Again, I'll say that again. Water baptism does not save you, but rather is for the saved. Water baptism is a symbolic act in Christianity, signifying a believer's union with Christ, death, burial, resurrection, and is a public declaration of faith and a step toward Christian discipleship. That is the purpose of water baptism. It is our public profession of our faith and a commitment, a declaration of our faith and our commitment to following Christ in discipleship. We'll say this again, one more time. Water baptism is a recognition of our identity with Christ, his death, burial, resurrection, and ascension. Hallelujah. Our faith in that work, and then a commitment to following him in discipleship. It is a public profession of our faith. Here is here's some more detailed explanation, if you will, of the symbolism and meaning of water baptism for a believer. When you are born again, you should immediately get baptized with water as an act of your faith, hallelujah, and a declaration to the world that you belong to Christ and that you are committed to following him in discipleship. Number one, the symbolism and meaning of water baptism, which every believer should be a partaker of. Number one, identification with Christ. Water baptism symbols the believer's identification with Jesus Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. You go under the water, his death, his burial, and you raise up the new man. It's symbolic that the old man died with Christ, you were buried with him, and when you get out of the water, you identify with his resurrection. Your old man died on the cross, and you were born a new man through his resurrection. Identification with Christ. Death to the old life. Going under the water represents the dying to the old life and raising to the new life in Christ. Public declaration. It is a declaration of faith and commitment to following Jesus Christ. Incorporation into the body of Christ. Water baptism serves as a sign of our incorporation into the body of Christ. and then finally, the last thing, obedience to the command, to Christ's commands. Jesus commanded his disciples to baptize, Matthew chapter 28, verse 19. So the first essential baptism is the new birth when we call upon Jesus and we acknowledge that he's the Christ, the Son of God. The Holy Spirit takes you and I and baptizes us in to Christ and were made to drink of his Spirit. The second baptism is our public profession, our public declaration of our identification with him, hallelujah, our surrender to him, and our commitment to discipleship, which every believer should partake of immediately after they have gotten born again. Now, finally, the third baptism. And remember, I'm talking about all of these to introduce you to the Holy Spirit. The third baptism is being baptized in or filled with the Holy Ghost. And this is about the power of God. The first baptism, where we got born again, was about the nature of God. The third baptism, being baptized in the Holy Ghost, is about the power of God. Hallelujah. Two things to remember about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is a person, not a power. And speaking in tongues is a gift, not an experience. You're receiving the person of the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, and you're receiving a gift of tongues that empowers you in what God wants you to do. The first, the new birth, the baptism into the body of Christ, is about being born again, and it is about a change in nature. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is about the power of God. Turn to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, and I'll show you this. It says in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, "But you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses both to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Notice he says this, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost is come upon you in order to be my witnesses." And in Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, on the day of Pentecost, the Holy Ghost came. In this third baptism, baptizee, and then you're being baptized into something. The baptizer is Jesus, and Jesus is baptizing the believer in with the Holy Ghost and fire, hallelujah, in order to have him come upon you and empower you to be a witness. It's about power, not about the new birth. In Acts chapter 2, verse 1 through 4, it happened. The day of Pentecost happened. Jesus asked the Father for another comforter, and he sent him on the day of Pentecost, and they were baptized in the Holy Ghost. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Hallelujah. And there appeared unto them tongues like as fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They were baptized in the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. So again, in my introduction to the Holy Spirit, I'm asking you the same question. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? Now I want to go back to our original verses that we read in my introduction of the Holy Ghost to you. And I want to show you in Acts chapter 19, all three essential baptisms took place for the believer, took place with this group of 12, all on the same day. Let's go back to Acts chapter 19 and let's read verse 1 again. "And it came to pass that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper coast, came to Ephesus and finding certain disciples, he said unto them, Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed?" Meaning that the Holy Spirit is for believers. Believing and receiving the Holy Ghost is two different things. "And they said unto him, We have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost," meaning no. "And he said unto them, What baptism were you baptized unto? And they said, Unto John's baptism." And then in verse 4, he said, "John verily baptized you with the baptism of repentance, saying to the people that you should believe on him who should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. So what is he saying? John's baptism was a baptism of repentance, getting Israel ready for the appearing of the Christ. And he said, and John said, get ready, the Christ is coming, the Son of the living God is coming, I'm not him, and you're getting your heart ready. John's baptism was a baptism of repentance in the River Jordan, getting the people prepared for the appearing of the Christ. So they were waiting for the Christ, but they had been baptized with John's baptism, and they were expecting the appearing of the Christ, but they did not know that he had come yet. And Paul says, good news, people, good news, you 12 men in Ephesus, you certain disciples, the one that John referred to that he was getting you prepared for has already come, and Jesus is the Christ. And what did he say? That you should believe on him. And what did they do? They believed on Jesus. They brought the consummation of John's water baptism, waiting for the John was to get them ready for Jesus. And now that they knew that Jesus was the Christ, they fulfilled John's baptism by putting their faith in Jesus. Hallelujah. And they were believers. So they essentially just partook of the new birth, or they became believers in Jesus, that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God, and they partook of the first baptism, the baptism where the Holy Ghost baptized them into Christ, and they drank of the Spirit of God. They drank of that one new Spirit, the Spirit of a Son that cried, Abba, Father. Hallelujah. The first baptism, these men on that day, when they found out about Jesus, they were born again, received the nature of God, and they partook of the first baptism. Look at verse 5. And then when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus by water. They believed on Jesus, the first baptism. Then they were baptized in water as a declaration and a proclamation, their identity with Christ as the Messiah, Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the Living God. They were baptized, but and they identified with him. They made a public profession of faith, and then they made a commitment through the water baptism, a commitment to discipleship. Then the third baptism, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and went verse 6 here in Acts chapter 19. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them, and they spake with tongues and prophesied, and they and all the men were about 12. And then the third baptism they participated of, Jesus, through the laying on of Paul's hands in the name of Jesus, Jesus baptized these 12 men with the Holy Spirit, and they spake in tongues and they prophesied. The power of God came upon them, and they began to speak in tongues, and they began to prophesy. All three essential baptisms took place in the life of these 12 men, 12 men that Paul bumped into at Ephesus. The three essential baptisms that every believer should be a partaker of, hallelujah, and they received the Holy Ghost. Now, these men, Paul did a great job. Paul in Acts chapter 19, he essentially did what I'm trying to do right now. He said, let me introduce you to the Holy Ghost. Let me introduce you to the Spirit of God. And he did it, and they partook of all three essential baptisms, and they were filled with the Holy Ghost, and they went on their merry way, baptized on their journey of discipleship. Their nature was changed. They were born again. They passed from death unto life, hallelujah, and they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen? So here's the question. How do we receive the Holy Spirit? Hallelujah. And remember, the Holy Spirit's a person, and he'll empower you. He'll give you power to be a witness for Jesus. Amen? How do we receive the Holy Spirit? Number one, you must be a believer. Have you acknowledged that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God? And that means I'm acknowledging my condition. I'm lost. I'm broken beyond repair. I need a Savior. And I put my faith in Jesus as the Savior, as the Christ. First of all, if you want to receive the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, you must be a believer. Number two, we must know the promise of the Holy Spirit. Once you are a believer, know that there is a promise of the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 2, on the day of Pentecost, these people came out. Peter preached a message, and he said, "What must we do? What must we do?" And he said this, and they were talking about being born again and being filled with the Holy Ghost. And Peter said unto them, "Repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." He's talking about repent, believe, and then be water baptized, and then you shall receive. He said three things: believe, be water baptized, and again, you don't need to be baptized to receive the Holy Ghost, but you need to be baptized by water as an act of obedience, again, as your public profession of faith. But what did he say to them? He said in Acts chapter 2, verse 38, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And I'm talking about knowing the promise. "For this promise is unto you," those Israelites, those people he was talking to right then and there, "your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call." The promise of the Holy Ghost. And all they knew was the tongue-talking Holy Ghost. Hallelujah, because this is Acts chapter 2. This tongue-talking Holy Ghost is to you and your children and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. Afar off. That means it's you and me. Marcus Wick in 1987, I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I had a friend lay hands on me in the name of Jesus. I got filled with the Holy Ghost, and I spoke in tongues after I was born again in 1985. You in America, you wherever you're at right now, this promise is all-inclusive. Whoever will call upon the name of the Lord, the gift of the Holy Ghost is for you. Hallelujah. Luke chapter 11, verse 11 through 13. "If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will you give him a stone? If he shall ask a fish, will you for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him?" Meaning this, if you ask the Father for the Holy Spirit, that's exactly what you're going to get. We got some people that say, "Well, you know what? You got to be careful. Tongues are of the devil." That ain't what the Bible says right here. The Bible says, and in the book of Luke, serpents and scorpions are symbolic of demonic powers. If you read in Luke chapter 10, I believe it is, I give you all power over all the power of the enemy, to tread on scorpions and serpents and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall harm you. He identifies scorpions and serpents as demonic powers. What is he trying to say here? If you ask the Father for the Holy Spirit, you're not going to get a serpent. You're not going to get a scorpion. You're not going to get a devil. You're going to get the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is for everyone, Acts chapter 2. And if you ask the Father for the Holy Spirit, that's exactly what you're going to get. You're not going to get a devil. There's not a chance on earth, in heaven or on earth, that you can get a devil. If you ask the Father for the Holy Spirit, you're going to get the Holy Ghost. That's exactly what you're going to get. So number one, we must be a believer. We must know the promise. Number three, have another believer who is filled with the Holy Ghost, who speaks in tongues, lay hands on you and pray for you to receive the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus. And if you ain't got one around you, you don't know a tongue-talking believer, then what you can simply do is simply ask the Father for the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus, and you will ask Jesus to baptize you in the Holy Ghost, and you'll get baptized in the Holy Ghost. He'll baptize you in the Holy Ghost, and you'll speak in tongues. And then finally, the fourth thing, first thing was, you must be a believer. We must know the promise. You must have somebody lay hands on you or ask the Father. Number four, then receive the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues. That's all you got to do. Just yield, and it's not going to be involuntary. He's going to give you a supernatural language. Paul said, I will pray my understanding. I will pray in the Spirit. I'll pray my understanding. When I pray in the Spirit, I build myself up. It's not all Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit, and it's not all you. The Holy Spirit supplies the utterance. You need to speak the language. Just like right now, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at this. The Holy Spirit supplied the language when I got filled, and the utterance, and I speak the language. Hallelujah. It's His. He's supplying the ability to pray in tongues, but I have to yield to that ability. I have to yield to the Holy Spirit, and I have to speak in tongues. It is not an involuntary act. Okay? There are so many benefits to receiving the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues. One of the primary benefits that people experience is the Bible becomes a brand new book. The Holy Spirit opens our eyes, our ears, our heart as we read the Bible to see, hear, and know like never before. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12. Now you have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. One of the purposes of being filled with the Holy Ghost and receiving the Spirit of God is so that you and I can know the things that God in Christ has already freely given us. Hallelujah. I just want to encourage you. Go back over what I told you and begin to meditate upon it, marinate on it, marinate in it, meditate upon it, and ask God for the Holy Spirit, and Jesus will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and power. You must be a believer. You got to know the promise. You ask God, or maybe have another believer lay hands on you in His name, and then you receive and speak in tongues. So here's what I wanted to do. Again, this is not a thorough teaching. This is an introduction. I wanted to introduce you to the person, the third member of the Godhead, the person of the Holy Spirit. I just say, let me introduce you to the Holy Spirit. Now I'll say this. Welcome, Holy Spirit. Let our journey begin. Say that with me. Say, welcome, Holy Spirit. Let our journey together begin. Hallelujah. Thank you for allowing me to introduce you to the Holy Spirit.
We hope you enjoyed this special teaching from Marcus Wick Ministries. This teaching has been brought to you by the partners of Marcus Wick Ministries. If you are interested in more resources, we encourage you to go to marcuswickministries.com. While there, you will discover a wealth of other valuable resources, as well as upcoming events and how to become a partner. We appreciate your support and would love to hear from you today.